Now, as we come to hear from God's word, let's bow first in a moment of prayer. Lord and God, we pray now as we come to hear from your word, Lord, we pray for open ears and open hearts to hear and receive the message from your word, Lord. And we pray your Holy Spirit may be at work amongst us, Lord, helping us to understand this clearly, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. So first of all, I'll be here over the next 4 weeks preaching in the morning and evening services, as well as on Christmas morning. So in the morning services, we'll be going through the book of Haggai together, so it'll fit neatly into about 4 weeks. And in the evening services, we'll be going through the books of 2nd and 3rd John, which are short books, and so also can be fitted into 4 weeks, just so there's a good start and finish to my preaching time here. And I pray that it'll be beneficial for us all to hear from God's word in these books. So let's begin with Haggai chapter 1, so the first chapter of Haggai. Now, for me, recently, I've had to learn some things regarding responsibilities. Now, I got married a little while ago, and I've had to take on the responsibilities of being a husband and having a wife, which brings changes to your life. We've also recently had a baby boy as well, so I'm now responsible not only for myself, but for my wife and baby and their well-being also, in lots of ways. As well as that, I've returned to study at the beginning of last year at the Presbyterian Theological College here in Melbourne after being overseas for a while. So I've had to take on the responsibilities of being a student again. I've got assignments to do, exams to do, books to read, and I'm responsible to manage my time well while I'm studying. And I'm sure too that many of us here have got responsibilities as well towards our families or towards our children or towards our jobs. But how about as a church? How often do we stop to consider our responsibilities as a church? Meaning you and I, God's people, not the building as such, as God's people, as Christians. Because we have certain responsibilities as God's people. There's things we should be doing for the well-being of the church, for God, as well as for one another. So today we're going to look into this first chapter of the book of Haggai and see what God's saying to us as the church today about these things, about our responsibilities as a church. So then Haggai chapter 1, it opens in verse 1 with God speaking through the prophet Haggai to the leaders of those who returned from 70 years of exile in Babylon. For God's people who had returned from exile, they were back living in their houses, but they hadn't rebuilt God's temple as they'd been told to, as they were responsible to. It still lay in ruins from when the Babylonian army had destroyed it. The foundation had been laid again, we read in the book of Ezra, but that was it. And here in verse 2, the people say, "The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." And so they say this, not God. And what does God say to them then in return? In verse 4, God says, "Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Are you fulfilling your responsibilities here?" God's saying. "Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing?" And if you know the background of this book of Haggai, the events preceding it, the people's behavior here is all the more disappointing. For God's people, there was a high point in the past around the time of King David and his son Solomon when Israel was one large, united nation. But then after Solomon's death, the nation of Israel split into two rival countries. There was Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Now, Israel were the first to taste God's wrath for their disobedience, being conquered and taken off into slavery by the Assyrians. never to return from exile. And Judah, the southern nation, they were next. So their disobedience led to them being conquered by the Babylonians and taken into exile and slavery to Babylon. But for Judah, there was a spark of hope. God declared that their punishment was for a time. Then he would bring them back out of exile, back to their land once again. And 70 years later, God fulfilled his word. A group of people from Judah returned to Jerusalem. But from what we read now in Haggai, it's as if the Jews seem to have forgotten all this. They'd forgotten that God is sovereign, that God is in control, that God was the one who had moved the heart of the king of Persia, allowing them to return to Jerusalem out of exile and for the temple to be rebuilt. Simply put, that they weren't living like God's people. They were failing in their God-given responsibilities. They were disobedient, they were sinning, and they were selfish. And God was not pleased with them. So God then declared 2 times to the people, consider your ways, in verses 5 and verse 7 of this chapter. For the people, they were planting crops, but they were harvesting little. They were eating and drinking, but they were still unsatisfied. Their clothes weren't keeping them warm. Their money wasn't being saved. There was a kind of cause and effect going on here that God wanted them to see. This was the reality of their situation. And it's as if God is saying to them, think about how you're living. Do things look like they're going well for you? Really? I mean, do they? And do you actually wonder why at all? God's calling on his people here for some serious reflection and thought on how they were living and on how their situation was, because the way they were living was disobedient and irresponsible. But what does this matter to us, you may be thinking? We're not living in Old Testament times. We're not rebuilding a temple. Well, for us, like the people in Haggai's time here, we are God's people. If we repent and turn away from our sins and believe in Jesus and what he's done by dying for us on the cross, then we're saved from God's wrath and hell and become his people with the promise of eternal life together with God. And God expects certain things from his people, regardless of what time or what age we're living in. We have certain responsibilities as God's people. So where, as a church today, might we be saying something like, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built? Where might God be saying to us, consider your ways? Where might we be seeing a cause and effect, a certain reality happening because of actions or behavior of ours? One area I feel in the general church in Australia today is in terms of Christian giving in regards to our finances and our time. Like, we're living in Australia here, a country that's been greatly blessed by God. Our standard of living has been greatly blessed by God. And if you don't believe me, just visit some other countries and see how others live in this world. And I know that some people in our country are struggling a lot in many ways, but generally, overall, we are blessed here. But what are we doing with our finances and with our time as God's people? I think a lot of God's people today are busy living in panelled houses like the people here in Haggai, while God's greater church is being neglected and going to ruin. And again, I'm not talking about the buildings, I'm talking about Christianity, about the church in general, about God's people. The reality is that today Christian work is suffering from a withdrawal of finances and time for all kinds of kingdom building projects by Christian people. There's a cause and there's an effect. As God's people in Australia, we're often spending as much on our own wants as the non-Christian materialistic culture around us. There seems to be little sacrificial living for God's church and God's kingdom. Many Christians appear no different than the unbelievers and the world around them. There's nothing that makes them stand out to make the world think there's something different about these people. They just blend in completely. And there's effects because of that. Right, we can't keep on living that way and think that everything will be fine. Now, consider your ways, God says in His Word. Where are our responsibilities? So the church in Australia today needs some serious reflection, some serious thoughts on its ways, on our ways, because the reality of our situation doesn't look good. But next in Haggai, he goes on to speak more directly to the people about their responsibilities. From verse 8, where God says, "Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified," says the Lord. God here reminds the people of what they should be doing in case the hint to consider their ways wasn't enough. This was the responsibility they were neglecting, to build the temple, to rebuild God's temple. And why? So that God may take pleasure in it and be glorified. Having not rebuilt the temple yet suggests that God was neither pleased nor glorified, which wasn't a good thing for God's people. And God, he then goes on from verses 9 to 11 to point out the consequences for the behavior of the people. Because though we often don't want to think about it, not doing what God wants has consequences. Sin has consequences. Remember what I mentioned, cause and effect. This part is the effect. So what were the consequences? In verse 9, God says, "You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house." And then verses 10 to 11 get stronger. "Therefore," God says to them, "you are not responsible for rebuilding my house, so you are responsible for what is now happening to you. These are the consequences. Because of you, there's not enough dew and not enough fruit. There is, in verse 11, a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men, on livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Because of you, says the Lord of hosts to the people." All these things were happening because of the people's neglect of God's house, His temple. This was a case of having the wrong priorities and being irresponsible. This was sin. And there were consequences. And so how about for us? Like, does God speak to us about our responsibilities? Do we have reminders of what we should be doing as God's people today? Well, yes, we have God's Word, the Bible, the complete record of God's revelation to us. We know what we should be doing. We have no excuse. And for example, consider in Matthew chapter 28, one of the Bible readings we had this morning, in verses 19 and 20, where Jesus tells us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So we know that one of our responsibilities is to make disciples, and baptizing them and teaching them to obey God's commands. And we have many other examples of what we're supposed to do from the Bible. And we too, as the church in Australia, we have consequences, therefore, for our behaviour, for any areas that we're irresponsible in. Like, for example, what I was saying about our finances and time. Like, I would suggest, for example, that the church in Australia today probably has little spiritual blessing or unity or love or effectiveness or growth, because God may be withholding His Holy Spirit because of the wrong focus for our finances and our time. because we're not taking the gospel to the people around us, because we're living as if we're in our own panelled houses, where these things take more precedence than the church. Now, you may disagree with me, but as Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." And so our behaviour, not just as individuals, but as the church, has consequences, though people don't really want to talk about such things. I mean, yes, we know that God is the one who builds his church, but why should he, if we're just sitting back and being irresponsible and disobedient and not doing anything? But we can't expect God to simply shower us with his blessings while we turn our backs on him and focus only on ourselves with our finances and time. It doesn't work that way. But what can we do about this then? Like, what do we do if God convicts us of neglecting our responsibilities? How can we change this situation? How can we avoid or remove these consequences? Well, let's have a look at the next part of Haggai then. So we're now at verse 12, where after being rebuked by God and called to consider their ways, after telling them of the responsibilities they were disregarding, after showing them the consequences of their sinful behaviour, we read that all the people then obeyed and feared God, which means they repented of their sin. All the people repented of their sin. Now, this was fantastic. This is great news. But was this something they did by themselves, though? No. As we've seen all throughout this chapter of Haggai, it's God who is active. God is revealing. God is correcting. God is rebuking. And it's God who is active in the people's repentance as well. We can read this here in verse 12, where it says that the leaders and the people obeyed because the Lord their God was speaking through Haggai. And the Lord their God had sent Haggai. It's God who's active here. The people themselves hadn't just had a great idea to repent, but they were happy living in their houses, remember. And God makes this crystal clear next in verse 13 when he declares, "I am with you." Isn't that encouraging to hear? "I am with you," God declares to the people. Now, the people have repented with God's help. They've obeyed and feared God. And so God encourages them, stirring up the spirits of the governor, the high priest, and all the people. And as I've said, we can see here that in everything, God is the one active. He is in control. He is sovereign. And he is with his people. And so they began to work on rebuilding God's temple. And note the date in verse 15 that it says here, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. That's only 24 days since God first spoke through Haggai at the beginning of the chapter. That's not long. I mean, think about some other prophets like Isaiah or Jeremiah, who spent a lot more time warning Israel of their disobedience. 24 days from rebuke to repentance is pretty good. But let's not forget that whether it's through Isaiah or through Jeremiah or through Haggai, all things happen according to God's will and his timing. So again, what about for us then? What else can we get from verses 12 to 15 today? Well, we can be sure that if God convicts us of neglecting any responsibilities, then like here in Haggai, he is right here with us too. Not only calling us to repent, but helping us to repent of our sinful behaviour. Because for Christians, we too know that God is with us. In fact, we're in a more privileged position than those in Old Testament times. And for us living today, we live in the time after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection and ascension. We know that one of Jesus' titles is Emmanuel, which means God with us. We know that Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect life and died on a cross so that the penalty for our sins could be paid. And as we've just looked at in verses 9 to 11, You know, we know that irresponsibility and sin has consequences. And the ultimate consequence that we hear about in the Bible for our sin is death. But when Jesus died on that cross, he paid the penalty for our death, for our sins. He took on that consequence. He died for our sins so that our sins might be forgiven by God. So we know that God is truly with us in our lives and all that we do through Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. We should be so thankful to God and for his love for us that he helps us to repent and that he is with us. As Jesus says at the end of the passage from Matthew chapter 28 in verse 20, where he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So what things have we learnt from this passage here in Haggai then? We've learnt that we are God's people and we have certain responsibilities. I've just mentioned only a couple of examples today regarding the use of our time and our finances and our role of making disciples. So we need to consider our ways too. What other areas of responsibility do we have as God's people? Where else might there be some cause and effect going on? Some not so good realities from our present situation as God's church, as God's people. And we also need to understand that there are consequences for any irresponsible, disobedient, or sinful behavior that we might have. I mean, yes, we're saved. Yes, we'll go to heaven if we believe in Jesus and turn from our sins, but just that ongoing sin that we have in our lives, we can't just allow that little sin to keep going thinking that, oh, God's going to forgive it. God will forgive it. No, there are consequences. But we have to remember, though, that within all this, that our God is truly with us and helps us to repent. So then, as God's church, let's consider our ways. Let's consider our responsibilities as God's people and repent if we're not behaving right before our God. And remember that in all things that our God helps us and that our God is with us. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord, that reveals to us how we should be living as your people. Lord, and we thank you that you do convict us of our sins, Lord, that you don't just leave us in our sins disobeying you, Lord, that you help us to see our sins, you help to convict us of our sins, and that you help us to repent from our sins. So, Lord, help us to consider our ways, to look at our lives as Christians living here in Australia and see whether there's any consequences happening, any results of disobedience or sin or of not doing as we're supposed to do, Lord. Lord, help us to turn away from our sins and help your church to grow so that you may be pleased and glorified, we pray. And in all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll sing our final hymn now.